Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Outdoor Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Remy Coble, and today I'm going to interview an outdoor adventure journalist. He has done work for various publications, such as Backpacker and Outside Online, and is part of the REI Co-op Journal. You can find him at ryanwilchins.com. Here's the interview.
This is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. This is Remy.
Hey, Remy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Thank you so much for doing this today.
You bet. Happy to help.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. So I know that you are an outdoor adventure journalist, and you've written for various publications like Backpacker Magazine and Outside Online. So I wanted to ask, how did you grow up, and how do you think the way that you grew up led you to a career in outdoor writing?
Yeah, well, I grew up back east, originally from upstate New York, and the most direct line I can draw is I just spent a lot of time hiking and camping and backpacking and stuff when I was growing up. So, you know, my interest in the outdoors and in doing things outdoors really, I think, kind of started there. As far as what got me into journalism, I don't have a really good answer. I was always just kind of interested in it as a kid. And I decided to go to school for it. And and the rest is kind of history there. I was lucky to kind of figure out my path while I was in college, and it just kind of worked out from there.
Yeah, and what did you like about journalism when you first started?
I think when I was young, I really liked the idea of being the first one to have a piece of information and be responsible for sharing that with other people, in a kind of really abstract sense. And it took me a long time before I knew exactly what I wanted to do with that. I was, I think, initially curious about like sports journalism, and then I went to college and got a very like hard news newspaper kind of journalism education. And while I always was interested in writing about the outdoors, it wasn't something that I don't think I really imagined myself doing that as a career until I just kind of ended up doing it, honestly.
Okay. That's very interesting. So, I know that you studied journalism in upstate New York. What college did you go to?
So, I'm originally from upstate New York, but I went to school at the University of Rhode Island.
Okay. And you went on a backpacking trip through the Arcata Trail in Rhode Island, is that correct? Okay. And then I read online that trip kind of started your career.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I've been a reader of Backpacker Magazine for years, and kind of pitched them ideas here and there for a while. And it wasn't until Rhode Island has very little backpacking. And it wasn't until I did this hike and pitched a article about this trail for Backpacker that was the first thing I wrote for them.
Okay.
So starting there and kind of that's kind of where I got my feet wet, developed some relationships with Backpacker, and they didn't have too many people writing about Rhode Island of all places, so that's kind of how I got my foot in the door, and that progressed to, you know, building relationships with editors more and more, and them seeing that I can write and letting me write more about other areas. And at that point I was still living back east, obviously, which is an area they didn't have a whole lot of people writing about, didn't have a whole lot of stories about, so I kind of pretty quickly became the Northeast person for them, and that just kind of steamrolled into where I am now.
Oh, good. So I know you said it's important to choose a niche in a quote that I read. Did you write for the paper at school, like any outdoor work for them, or was it just hard news?
No, I really didn't. I was the news editor for our college newspaper. So I was, you know, very on the traditional journalism side of things. My niche really became, you know, to get super specific, it became writing about the Northeast specifically for Backpacker. Like I said, they didn't really have anybody doing that. I kind of pitched myself to the editors there as somebody who could and somebody who I thought could do it pretty well. Having, you know, grown up hiking and backpacking and climbing all over New York and Vermont and New Hampshire and Maine and that whole area.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of how I set myself apart with Backpacker in particular, was I found this niche and it was a hole that they needed to fill. And I was somebody who could fill it, or one of the only people who they had to fill it. And, you know, they needed me. And once I kind of took advantage of that, I showed them, like I said, I showed them that I could write, and from there, I was able to do more and more beyond just writing about the Northeast. But that I think is, I give a lot of, I credit finding that niche with me being able to get my foot in the door and develop the relationships with editors that I've been, that has gotten to me too.
Did you practice pitching in college? Like, how did you?
A little bit. Yeah, I did take one feature writing class that kind of gave me the nuts and bolts about pitching. Pitching is such a complicated thing in the sense that it's, you do it a little bit differently for every publication and every editor. So while I did kind of learn the bare bones basics of it, it was a lot of trial and error. The article that I wrote for Backpacker about this trail in Rhode Island was not the first thing that I ever pitched for them. I spent a lot of time pitching them ideas, emailing editors before that, and nothing stuck. And finally, this was the one that I was able to kind of, like I said, I found that niche with this one and got it to work. But no, it wasn't, while I did learn a little bit, it was definitely something that, it still is, frankly, it's something that takes a lot of trial and error based on the publication you're working with, based on the editor that you're working with. It's not, I don't think there's like a single set of rules that work across all publications. Even today, it's something that I'm figuring out as I go along.
Yeah, and I know that freelance writing is very difficult career to get into. So do you think that the relationships that you build are very important for getting into a niche like with outdoor adventure journalism?
Yeah, those relationships are critical once you've kind of gotten your foot in the door. The relationships are important to kind of expand from that. I think that step one is finding something that you're good at that you can be an expert voice in and talk about that and pitch stories related to that. And in this case, it was hiking in the Northeast. And then once you kind of get that going and get things jump-started a little bit, developing relationships with editors is critical. The first editor that I worked with became a very good friend, and we still work together constantly, and she has connected me with lots of other editors and given me opportunities that I wouldn't have had otherwise. And I meet other editors who introduce me to other editors, and the outdoor journalism world is a pretty small community. So meeting people and having the opportunity to develop relationships with editors is critical. It makes it a whole lot easier to befriend an editor and have them come to you with story ideas and have them recognize your name in their inbox than it is to, like, cold pitch an editor for every single story that you ever write. I don't think you could make a career out of it if you didn't have some kind of relationship with some editors.
Definitely. And then, how did you, like, in college, when you graduated, did you have a plan at all at that time, like, or...
I started writing, my first story with Backpacker was when I was a junior in college.
Oh, good, okay.
And I was certainly a long ways away from making that a full-time career, obviously. It was honestly more of a hobby at that point, but... I don't think it was too long before I kind of realized that that was the direction I wanted to go. So once I graduated college, I did a handful of other things. And you know, kind of worked other jobs as I built my freelance career up. And it took me a couple of years. It took me a few years, really, before I could basically not do anything except freelance, right? Which is where I am today. But yeah, it took quite a while to kind of work up to that point. It wasn't immediate. I think I knew that that's the direction that I wanted to go, but it took quite a while for me to get there.
Yeah. And then when you started at Backpacker with that editor, were you given any assignments that you would like to tell me about?
I think I would be hard pressed to remember all the way back to some of the earlier things, but that assignment with the first story that I pitched to Backpacker, not the first one I pitched, the first story that I was assigned with Backpacker,
mm-hmm.
One of the keys with that was pitching something in one of their departments, so like the first half of the magazine, something short, something very formulaic. And something, frankly, pretty easy for me to do. I wasn't going crazy pitching big, lengthy features, just because, you know, they didn't know who I was, and there's no way they would have assigned something like that to somebody who they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I started, was writing some of these rubriced departments. Things and that's true with a lot of magazines even today. If I'm reaching out to somebody new, I kind of put an eye towards some of these simpler things so that I can, you know, an editor is more likely to take a chance on a new writer like me. Once I did that with Backpacker, those are the kinds of things that I was assigned for a while. And you know, it takes a while for those editors to kind of build up the trust in you and be willing to give you bigger story assignments. So at this point with Backpacker, I've done just about everything. Lots of kind of destinations, departments, pieces, some longer destinations, feature pieces, a lot of gear writing, a lot of other things that I really enjoy doing, but the key is to definitely kind of start small and pitch things that you think editors are willing to take a chance on you with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good advice. Thank you. I think your career is definitely, it sounds so interesting and fun, but it's definitely challenging, and I don't think people see that a lot, so thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, there's so much more to it than just pitching ideas and writing stories. I run my own business, you know, so I don't have a boss kind of looking over my shoulder and telling me to get to work, which is a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I don't work as much as I need to this week, I don't get paid.
Mm.
You know, so it's, yeah. I think I would have a hard time trading the flexibility that gives me for anything at this point, but, you know, there's a lot of downsides to working for yourself. You know, paychecks come in inconsistently, and you know, work is kind of up and down and all sorts of things that kind of come with running your own business. So there's definitely a lot more to it that I think people don't necessarily see.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment in your career where it was just really difficult and you might have wanted to quit at one point?
I don't know if I've ever gotten to that point. I mean, the consistency of my work fluctuates every year, always. You know, it's always up and down. No 2 months are the same. It's, you know, definitely fluctuates quite a bit. Like I said, it took me quite a while before I got to the point where it was consistent enough and I had enough work to fully support myself with it. But since I've done that, I think I've been in the aggregate, you know, averaged out over a year, pretty stable.
Mm-hmm. And you've said that you've met a lot of editors within your career. So What would you say is your favorite editor that you've met or person that you've met throughout?
There's so many. The thing is, like, all these editors that I work with, or most of these editors that I work with, are, you know, they become very good friends. So I have so many that, like, not only do I work with, but I go skiing with and you know, hang out with outside of work stuff. And, you know, I have a couple editors at Backpacker who I'm still very close with. The editor who was formerly a Backpacker who I work with now, or who I originally started working with, is now at REI. I have good friends at Outside and all kind of over the place. Like I said, it's a pretty small community. So, yeah, that's another kind of nice part of the job. It's, like I said, all these people are, you know, my friends. Working for yourself and being a freelancer can be a little bit lonely and self-isolating sometimes, but it's certainly not a solitary career.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. So I know that you went on a trip to Alaska with a bunch of your friends. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, that was right after I graduated college, actually the summer before I technically graduated college, so the summer of 2015. I've been climbing and mountaineering since I was fairly young, and had never really been traveled too far to do it. So my friends and I decided we were gonna go to Alaska and kind of put all of the skills that we had been learning to the test in one place, and we found a cool part of the Alaska Range to go check out. And yeah, it was that one in particular was a 3-week trip. It had everything from, you know, crazy backpack rainy weather backpacking just to get to the glacier, to glacier climbing, to technical mountaineering, to backpacking to get back out. Yeah, it was a great experience. I think it changed me quite a bit, the things that I wanted to do in the outdoors. Alaska is like the most incredible place I've ever been on the planet.
That is so fun. I really want to go to Alaska
one day. I can't recommend it enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't recommend it enough. There's so much cool stuff to do up there. The terrain is just so cool. And I know that is like the most abstract thing to say, but like once you're up there, everything is just it's remote and so beautiful. Such a cool place to hang out.
And then how did you prepare for that trip? Because you told me previously that you'd never been to Alaska at that point, right?
Yep. Well, we had been doing a lot of mountaineering and ice climbing and other things. I was still living back east at that point. So technically speaking, we were prepared. I'm actually going back to Alaska for another climbing trip this spring. And we're doing we have a big, like, 6-month-long training plan that we're in the middle of, and we're, you know, bringing a handful of sponsors on board to kind of help us pay for it, and it's a pretty massive undertaking to put a trip like this together, actually, but yeah, it's fun. It's actually one of my favorite parts of trips like this is getting planned in the first place.
Yeah, and then you said it took 3 weeks, correct?
The trip itself was, 3 weeks with our, like, boots on the ground. We spent an additional kind of week up in Alaska getting things ready. But from trailhead to trailhead, it was 3 weeks.
Okay. What would you say was the most difficult part of that trip?
There was so much, so much stuff in that trip that it really kind of completed what we wanted to complete, but it very much tested us. Like I said, that was my first time up in Alaska, and we had heard, some anecdotes of people saying, like, I can't remember. It's something like 1 mile in the lower 48 is like, or vice versa, 1 mile in Alaska is like 3 miles in the lower 48. So everything is like 3 times harder and 3 times slower up there. So one of the hardest parts was really just getting from the trailhead into the mountain that we were trying to climb. The terrain just ended up being not at all what we expected, and it rained, and we thought it was going to take us 3 days, and it took us like 7.
So. Oh my gosh. Well, that's definitely memorable.
Oh yeah, for sure. Best and hardest thing I think I've ever done to this point.
Do you have any photographs from that trip?
Plenty, yep.
Oh, cool. You should show me that sometimes. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, I'm happy to send them over.
Yeah. So I know you grew up really outdoorsy. Were your parents that way too, or?
To an extent. We've been going on, like, family camping trips since I was born, basically.
Okay.
My parents had a little, like, pop-up camper and then a trailer, and so we used to do that all the time. I definitely took it to another level. Nobody else in my family does the kind of things that I do. But I definitely was lucky to grow up in a family that appreciated spending time outside and camping and doing stuff like that.
That's really cool. And are you an only child, or do you have siblings?
Nope, I am the oldest of 4.
Okay, cool. I'm the oldest, too.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, but I'm the more outdoorsy of the bunch, so...
Sure, yeah, exactly. I'm in the same boat there.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else, in the same way that I did growing up, appreciates getting outside and skis and stuff like that, but... I definitely took it to another level.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. And then growing up, did you read a lot and write a lot? Like, how did the journalism become something you knew you were interested in?
That's a good question. I read as much as a kid reads. I don't think I was like a major bookworm by any means. And to be honest, I didn't really enjoy writing until the later years of high school.
Oh, okay.
As I'm sure you know, most of the writing you do in school is like, read this old book and write a literary analysis.
It's very boring.
It, and I hate that. Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until my... I think my senior year of high school that I took in AP class that gave me the flexibility to write about things that I was actually interested in and actually wanted to write about. And that was kind of where it clicked. I don't think I had visions of being a writer or being a journalist before that point.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So you seem like a very motivated person. Is that true growing up, or did it change?
I don't I mean mean, I like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
I've always definitely been pretty goal-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I feel like you'd have to ask my parents better than me, but yeah, I think that's definitely, you know, having a goal is definitely something that I fixate on, whether it's in my career or, you know, coming up with a climbing trip that I want to take or whatever, having something that I can, that kind of motivates me and, you know, I can keep in the back of my mind, even if it's a ways off, something I can plan for and prepare for and work towards, definitely does wonders for my mental state.
Oh yeah, me too. I think if you can look forward to something, it just makes, like, the period that you're in a lot better, you know?
Exactly.
Like, yeah, during this time with COVID, it's just been, at first I was like, it'll be okay, like, but it's just gotten on my mental health, you know? It's not...
totally.
Ugh, it sucks sometimes.
And it's even harder because it's, you know, it's hard to plan trips and plan mm-hmm. things that you want to do and come up with these goals. But yeah, I think without that, I definitely lag a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And then, what assignments have you done or what experiences have you had during your career, that was, you really liked?
One of the most, I say this all the time, one of the most, like, transformative experiences for me in my career was going to the Outdoor Retailer Show.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started going to those, it was in Salt Lake City. Now it's in Denver.
Mm.
I don't know how familiar you are, but it's basically just a big convention center full of every outdoor brand you can imagine showing off their latest gear and stuff that the public hasn't seen yet. And super busy, and literally everybody in the industry is there.
That's so fun. Yeah, I've heard of it. I want to go.
Yeah, if you can figure out a way, I can't recommend it enough because it's the best way to... best way to, one, kind of keep your finger on the pulse of the industry and come up with new stories to write, but mm-hmm. two, from the journalist perspective, it's, you know, it's the best way to meet new editors. And again, when I started writing, I was living back east, and it wasn't until my first Outdoor Retailer that I actually met any of the editors that I had been working with face to face.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was kind of a big career point for me. And like taking some of these trips, whether it's to Alaska or elsewhere, not only does it give me something outside of work to kind of look forward to and plan for, but it's really good material to write about. So I think, you know, all the trips that I've taken and kind of keeping those in my pocket has helped my career, helped give me things to write about, helped give me experiences and stories that only I can tell. And I give a lot of credit to doing those kind of things too.
Yeah, amazing networking opportunities.
Definitely.
Yeah. Who's a writer that you look up to? Because I know that I really like John Krakauer. I'm a huge fan of him.
He is probably who I would say more often than not to, especially his earlier career. I would love for a magazine to send me to Everest.
Yeah, to, I know.
You know, to report on that kind of thing.
Be so cool.
And I don't know that too many magazines are doing that these days, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always kind of... idealized that career path that he had, working with magazines and having them send him places and then having these big things happen. You know, most of his big books, or a lot of his big books, have come, you know, they started with magazine essays that mm-hmm. he was writing for Outsider or elsewhere. And I would love to get to the point where I can, you know, whether that's write books or whatever, kind of hold a place of, you know, he is like the go-to he's like, you know, he's an expert in mountaineering and mm-hmm. a lot of these other fields that we write about. And I would love to kind of get to the point where I can be that guy.
Yeah. I know. He's just so cool. Have you read Into Thin Air?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Not recently. That was a book I read probably in high school, honestly.
Uh-huh. It's so good, though. So good.
Yeah.
And then I love Into the Wild.
Yep.
Such a good book.
Both of those started as assignments for Outside Magazine.
Yeah.
Go into their archives and read the article that he wrote and wrote that and then decided, man, there's a lot more here. I should write a book.
Yeah.
And I think that's super cool.
Which is so interesting because I feel like the Christopher McCandless story would be kind of a difficult story to write because you want to be sensitive to the parents that had gone through that traumatic experience, be sensitive to his sister. So it's definitely challenging, but it's so interesting that I'm so glad that he wrote that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of, a big part of being an experienced journalist is being able to tell tough stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
And develop sources kind of on the inside of them and then tell those tough stories without rubbing those sources the wrong way and maintaining those sources. It's a really tough skill in journalism.
Yeah. What do you think, what skills have you learned that have helped you in your career?
Aside from all the ones that I kind of went through about pitching stories and working with editors and that kind of thing, I think just about anybody these days would benefit from having some kind of web design coding experience. That's something that I kind of played around with as a kid and
mm-hmm.
Is always kind of a nice resume thing and can be helpful, depending on the publication you're working with and depending on the story you're working on. I never really saw myself as a photographer, and I still don't really see myself as a photographer, but mm-hmm. Having that skill in my back pocket is really helpful. Again, depending on the publication that you're working with, if you know you're writing a story and they don't have a budget to hire a professional photographer, it kind of becomes us writers' jobs to step up.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that can kind of round you out as a journalist, I think go a long way to making you somebody that a publication can go back to and use for various different things all the time.
Yeah, that's good. I know right now that I work for my TV station at school, and so I'm learning videography skills and reporting skills, and it's hard news, you know, which isn't what I like, but it's experience, so...
Exactly. I said that all the time. I knew pretty early on working at my college newspaper, editing for them, that wasn't a career path that I really wanted to go down, but it was still one of the best experiences I think I had in college. It was probably more valuable for me than any single class.
Yeah.
Just, you know, even if you don't see yourself doing straight news, those skills still transfer. They're still relevant in other places, in other fields, in other types of journalism.
Mm-hmm. So for my last question, because I don't want to talk your ear off all day, what assignments do you have in mind after COVID and what goals do you have for yourself?
This Alaska trip that we have coming up this spring is kind of the big thing on my horizon right now.
Mm-hmm.
Both as a climbing objective and potentially as a, as a journalistic objective after the fact. To be honest, I don't really know what will come of that. it's hard for me to imagine what the story will be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely something that that I'm excited to dig into once we get back, and something that I'm excited to make a big part of my journalism next year.
Oh yeah, I would be excited too. Alaska sounds so fun.
And there's that. It's just going to be an awesome trip.
Yeah. What, so you don't have anything in mind as to what you're going to write for that, or do you have ideas?
No, I honestly try not to put too many ideas mm-hmm. in my own head. I think the objective that we have has a pretty good story behind it, as far as, you know, it being a route that was pretty popular and people just stopped climbing it, and now it's kind of feels like it's been forgotten. But whatever I write is going to lean very heavily on what actually happens when we're up there, the experiences that we have on the mountain. And I don't know what those are going to be yet.
Yeah. Well, good luck for that. That sounds so exciting. I would love to read the article once that comes out. And
yeah, absolutely. I'll
Yeah, if you could send that to me, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ryan.
You bet. Thank you, Remy. I had a good time talking.
Yeah, me too. I've looked at your career a while now, so I'm very happy that I got to interview you.
Thank you. Yeah, keep in touch. I'm happy to answer any follow-ups that you have or, you know, anything that you'd help.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay. Well, you have a good day.
You too. Talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. That was my interview with an outdoor adventure journalist. I'm excited to see that article in the spring. If you guys want to see it, I'll make sure to link it here when I get it. And I apologize for not having Kinga Phillips on. We had to reschedule that one, but I know that she will be on eventually. So thank you so much once again, and have a good day.